Welcome to Deep Dive, a podcast about dive bars. I'm your host, Christina Lundin. Join me each week for a candid conversation with the owner, manager, bartender, and regulars at Chicago's most iconic pubs and taverns. So belly up to the bar, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Hey, Deep Divers, it's episode two. Episode two features Cork Lounge. Cork Lounge is in West Lakeview. It's right below the Addison Brown Line stop. So if you live off of a Brown Line, get on the Brown Line and get off at Addison and go have yourself a drink at Cork Lounge. That's what I recommend you do. I had a lot of fun meeting with Susie, the owner. She was one of the first to reach to respond to my inquiry, and this was before I even had an episode out, so thanks for taking a chance on me, Susie. Let's talk a little bit about my experience going there. I actually live nearby, and I've always wondered what it's like inside. I stayed up at night just wondering what was inside the Cork Lounge, but I'd never gone. And it took starting a podcast to get me there. So I'm thinking I should start a podcast about the dentist office. So from the outside, Cork Lounge looks pretty small, but it's actually pretty big inside. I was surprised. When you walk in, there are a bunch of potted plants in front of a pair of armchairs that look like they could have been plucked straight from the set of the Brady Bunch. It's very cool and retro looking. I imagine some fun conversations over 1, 2, 3, 6 beers have taken place in these chairs. There's also a bookshelf that's stocked with some of your favorite games from your childhood, like Pictionary and Candyland, Chutes and Ladders, Connect Four. So lots of opportunities for playing some games there. Then you have the bar areas, kind of like the focal point. The bar is pretty long. I didn't measure it. I didn't bring my tape measure, but I guess it's around 20 feet. So lots of room for people to sit at the bar and just hang out. Then the back room, that's where the pool table is. There's a cool stained glass lamp over the pool table. I got a picture of that on the old Instagram. And then there's a shuffleboard table, too. So I was the only one there, but I could picture groups of friends meeting up here, coworkers complaining about their boss here, couples having a romantic night at Cork Lounge, throuples, too, singles, everyone. There's something for everyone at Cork Lounge. The bar, I love this. They support local artists and have art all over the walls. They're actually having a holiday market on Wednesday, December 11th, so you can check that out if you want. My conversation with Susie was great. She's refreshingly honest, which I appreciate. She didn't sugarcoat the realities of working in the industry. She works extremely hard, but she does make a point to acknowledge how much impact her little neighborhood spot has had on the community throughout its lifetime. She mentioned all the regulars and people have been coming there for years, and she wonders about people who maybe have moved. So a lot of history here. It's her family's bar, so she takes great pride in it, and I think she's done a great job of carrying on the legacy of Cork Lounge. All right, that's enough for me. So let's get into the interview with Susie. All right. Hey, everyone. It's Christina. I am at yet another dive bar, local Chicago spot. We're in West Lakeview, just below the Brown
Addison line, Addison Brown line. That's how a Chicagoan would say it, right? And I am here with the owner. It's Susie. Susie, what's your last name?
Ristov.
Ristov.
Yes. R I S.
Okay, perfect. Ristov. And we are at Cork Lounge. And Susie's going to tell me all about Cork Lounge. Why don't we start off? Just give me all the history you know. How did Cork Lounge start? What were the early days like from what you've been told?
From my understanding and from stories that have been passed down, in the late 30s, early 40s, this bar began its Cork Lounge days from an Irish immigrant woman, hence the name Cork Lounge. She was from Cork County. And it went on to live multiple iterations in her family until about 86, my family bought it. And it's been Cork Lounge ever since. So it's, you know, I don't know, 80 plus years at this point.
Wow. So you're not the oldest bar in Chicago, but pretty close.
Maybe 90? I got to do the math on that one. I haven't done it in a while.
But like around Prohibition is when, or like a little after?
A little after.
Okay.
Yeah. Close to a decade after, probably, I would say. Somewhere around there, you know. There are photos in this bar of the original bar.
Okay.
We have an album of old photos from when their family owned it and then when my family owned it. But it's just, it's had a few facelifts, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know very much else about it. I mean, I've been working here for over 20 years, you know, on and off throughout my entire life. So it's been interesting.
Would you say you were kind of raised here too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's many memories of my sister and I. The back area used to be closed off and it just had junk in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to play hide and seek in there and search for treasures and weird things like that. So yes, it holds a very sweet space in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to
describe it. I think that's very sweet. Why did your parents want to buy a bar?
You know, my parents are both foreigners, and they came to America. And I think my dad had some service industry history, like, you know, he had done it before. But they owned a gyro or hot dog place, like, right across the street from Lane. And then it was just natural progression. They saw this place. They were like, yeah, we could do this. And I don't know. I think it was of the era, you know, a lot of mom and pops were happening and you were able to own a restaurant or a bar at the time with not as much difficulty as it is now.
Sure.
And they formed their own little environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that worked for them, you know, and so it was,
mm-hmm.
I never really thought about it, I suppose.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of couples go into business together and it can sometimes lead to conflict or, I mean, hardship.
Most of the times.
I mean, yeah. But were there any challenges that you remember from the past 20 years?
No, my parents are a really good team. They knew...
What are your parents' names or what?
Oh, my mother's name's Sophia. Mm-hmm. My father's name's Tony.
Where are your parents from?
My parents are Macedonian.
Oh,
so former Yugoslavia. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. So I think they just, you know, being of foreign mentality, and I don't know if that's true or not, but me growing up, my parents were just like laser focused. They were like, you know, help support the family, do the business. And we split the things evenly, like, you know, my mom took care of the kids, but also worked. But it was such a weird dynamic. There were traditional roles and then there weren't traditional roles mm-hmm. at the same time. So, but they just were really good partners. They understood each other. They knew what they both wanted, the same goal, the same accomplishment. They raised two great kids and that have careers of their own, even though I'm, you know, doing the bar
thing.
You're
doing this. Yeah. This is a big deal to carry on the family
name. It's difficult.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you like about this neighborhood? We're in West Lakeview right now. How do you feel it's changed?
mean, from my memory, it was just a normal working class neighborhood. It has drastically changed to a very fancy neighborhood.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but the people in this neighborhood are fantastic, I would say. I know people that work at the CTA. I know my neighbors. There was a judge that lived just down the house, the one that's getting... the one that's demolished over in that corner. She married my husband and I over at the pool table. Okay. You know, so you just get to know people, and everyone's been really nice. I don't, you know, if they tell me something, I try to respect their, you know we're too loud or something like that. That's never happened before, but if it were to, you know, like, I'd be like, okay, guys, we need to keep it down. Yeah. I don't know, we're just listening and take care of each other. And there's like a lot of young people, a lot of artistic people in the neighborhood. I think we're kind of like a little bit of that too, you know. A hodgepodge, if you will.
Yeah. Anyone's welcome here. Anyone can, yes, can absolutely have fun here.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about your staff. Who's been here the longest?
There's only one person that has been here a very long time. She's been here for 16 going on 17 years.
Wow. And so do you bartend sometimes too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've kind of pulled back a little bit because it's just doing back of house stuff and front of house stuff and coming here and ordering and deliver, all that stuff is that's a lot for me. So I'm trying to pull back a little bit, but a lot of the time is like regulars that I know that are bartenders, blah blah blah, and I'm like, hey, are you interested in
helping out
a
shift?
Couple yeah. shifts.
That's been a huge thing. Like, not a lot of people are working in the service industry, or there's a high turnover. It's really hard.
It's kind of a weird niche with local taverns, particularly when there's no like door guy, GM, all this kind of stuff. You know, it's a kind of a little bit different. The hours are a little bit longer. You're by yourself. You got to be self-manageable. You got to not fucking steal. I got to fucking trust you. So it's just, there's not a lot of other people making sure you're doing the right thing. You just kind of have to self-guide. And that's kind of difficult to find.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes, I mean, I had a really, a staff, bunch of people that were here for 5+ years, but like some of them have left to get out of this industry, and I don't blame them. It's rough. It chews you up. It spits you out. And you're a shell of a person.
Sure. And that's why you should tip your bartenders. Always.
Yes, of course. I wouldn't say otherwise.
Right, right. People turn to, I myself turn to Google reviews whenever I go, before I go anywhere. And Cork Lounge has some really positive, high praise, just great things to say. People who have come here, regulars, people who stop in, stumble upon this place. So do you ever go in and read your reviews? When you get an alert when you get a new one,
yes,
or something?
Yes, I do. I get alerts on my phone. And I, there was one story where someone had written something about a bartender that was working that night. I was not working. And I texted the bartender right away. I said, yo, was there a guy named blah, blah, blah there? Because he had privately emailed me.
Strange.
And she was like, yeah, there's someone by that name here. I was like, yeah. She said, you guys got in like an argument or something. It was something like really trivial. And I was like, why? What's going on over there? Like, and she went over there and she was like, hey, my boss just texted me.
He
and
was still there?
Yeah.
At least and get out of there.
Yeah, she confronted him and was like, what happened? Are we okay? You know, like, blah, blah, blah. Was there a miscommunication? And they worked it out. And then he emailed me and was like, holy crap. Like, that was the fastest conflict resolution situation.
Well, yeah, you emailed me. Well, yeah.
It's a small bar. Yeah. So if there was something wrong that I could fix, you know, I'm trying to gather all information because, you know, Google's one-sided. Or Yelp is one-sided. And I know you can reply back, but you know, that's, I just don't do it.
Well, people these days are such complainers, I feel like, and can nitpick and find the littlest thing to complain about, and it's like, oh my gosh, just enjoy your beer and move on with your life.
Well, yeah, they're not complaining about the atmosphere. or, you know, the person, it's always something like their hair was too short or some ridiculous
thing. That has nothing to do with.
Yeah, there was one where it was like, oh, my friend puked in the bathroom and the bartender kicked us out. And we're like, yeah, your friend puked home. In the bathroom. Like, what kind of common sense is that? Like, we had to clean it up. Like, we're not serving her anymore. Like, clearly not going to serve her.
Yeah.
You know, where she was prior to that, I have no clue.
Wow.
So you got to go.
I want to know, what do you guys have, some weekly events or monthly trivia nights, anything like that?
We really don't. We did trivia nights for a little. We tested it out. It's kind of, you know, this place is just kind of like,
hang out.
Let's try it. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it doesn't work. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, we do have that December 11th. We do have something that's kind of like an art Christmas
market here.
Yeah.
Check it out. December 11th. Yeah.
It's 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. We have yet to social media it, but we're still doing some side work for it. So.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed all the art on the walls. When did that start? Has that always been a part of the bar?
Yeah, so when we were forced to remodel like 16 or 17 years ago because the CTA took a portion of our building. And so this wall right here is their elevator shaft.
Mm.
And so we were closed down for a little over a year. And then when we reopened, we kind of had to like reconcept in that way. And it just was like, oh, we should see if artists want to put their art on our walls. And
and there's a whole shelf of board games. And be honest, who's grabbing the board games at night? Do you feel like people are playing less board games these days?
No, I don't. I think they play the same board games, though, all the time. Jenga is a big fan favorite. Connect Four.
A classic. Is that Cranium?
It could be half of Cranium, okay. Because everybody steals everything and can't have anything nice. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
So maybe half of that game still survived. I mean, we've had games where people steal pieces, but not the whole board game. And I'm like, why?
What are you going to do with that?
Maybe they were missing that piece. I'm not really sure. So,
any advice you would give to someone trying to open their own bar?
Yeah, don't do it.
Okay.
Do not do it. It is bad.
Yeah.
Especially in its current state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the competition is endless. You have to have deep pockets to even consider to open it now. You know, this was something that my parents had started. They didn't have deep pockets. It was just something that a lot of people were doing. Property was cheap. You were able to buy stuff. You were able to start your own little restaurant or bar or whatever. And every neighborhood had them. It's just, it's not realistic anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, people who open bars are like, there's four funding people and there's this name attached to it. And it's just exhausting. It exhausts me when I see it. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah. So what is your day to day like?
Oh,
like, walk me through a typical day for you.
Well, it depends on the day. Yeah. So like today, you know, I live in Berwyn.
Okay.
So it takes me a while to get here. So I'll wake up early, come to work. There's a cleaning crew, and then I'm doing inventory and emailing and then doing things like that. And then I stay here till 6 until the bartender comes, and then I go home. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I do paperwork.
Yeah.
So it's, and then like when you order, you have, I do almost every single aspect of this place. There's not really anything that I don't do. I'm trying to be better at putting,
get other people to help out, pull their weight.
Yeah. Everyone here is great. I don't want to like poo-poo their,
sure.
their whatever, but, yeah. You know, I've been grilled growing up as like, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done and it's not going to get done right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem.
Yeah. No, so it's your way is like the right way. It's hard to like, it's hard to give up control sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I might, when it's have some control issues. That's bar. Correct.
I get it. I get it. You're not alone. Any plans to take a little vacation?
I just came back from a small vacation. My best friend got married in Mexico.
Oh, that's so not a bad place to get married.
It was nice. Okay. Yeah. So it was nice. And we had some fun.
Were you able to leave work at work? Like when you go home, can you, I know you still email and order and do paperwork.
I have a really hard time not thinking about things. Oh, maybe we could do that. Like, how would that? And I have to stop myself. I'm constantly, I don't know if it's because I like to do it or that I've just been doing it for so long that it's just autopilot. So I really, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I do the same thing with my job. I mean, I'm thinking about it. It occupies a little part of my brain. Sometimes I'm able to turn it off. So
yeah,
perfectly normal. It does help when you're in like a beautiful place like Mexico.
Yeah. It was Mexico City. It wasn't like, you know, the idea of Mexico when you're like,
ooh, Mexico City is very cool. Though.
It was beautiful. It was really cool. And plus we were there for the Day of the Dead. Like it was just like the parades and stuff.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
And great food there too.
Yeah. It was very good food. But, you know, there's only so many times. I know people might get mad at me saying this, but there's only so many goddamn tacos I could eat. At one point, I was like, I need a salad. Like, I need vegetables.
No, don't worry. This is we like tacos at this podcast, but we're not that passionate.
My husband, on the other hand, was like, shut your mouth. Blasphemy. Oh, so, yeah.
What does your husband do? Is he involved in the business?
I mean, I think at one point when we first met, my family was like, well, maybe his name is Phil. Mm-hmm. Maybe Phil could. I was like, no.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
I know that it's very stressful. And so if he was part of it, it just wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. He does other stuff for a chip manufacturing company. Okay. So he's kind of just got a new position. So he's kind of like bing, 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 you know, all over the place. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
So you guys don't have to talk about the bar. You guys can talk about each other.
I talk about the bar because it's so much our life a lot of the time because it's so consuming to me because he helps me do stuff like, hey, we got to go change the filters. We got to go get limes. I mean, it's constant.
There's a lot of maintenance that goes into a bar that people don't see.
Yes.
I'm learning. Yeah.
Yes. There's a lot of maintenance.
The ordering,
the making sure the inventory is okay, the making sure that people aren't pouring the booze down their throats, making sure that the employees are doing the things they're supposed to be doing, payroll, receiving, repairs. I mean, it's never.
And the bathroom being clean.
Yes.
Too. I think I notice the bathroom anywhere I go now. And I've seen really nice bathrooms at some of the grungiest, oldest dive bars. Yeah. So
our bathroom's pretty good.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you can check it out.
I always test out the bathrooms here. I'm gonna do a whole review. But okay, I wanna know, so we have a lot of choices here in Chicago.
Yeah.
If you could tell someone like a few things about why they should check out Cork Lounge if they haven't already, what would you say?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that because the world is ever changing, you know, and I don't know what people want. I like the things that I like and I try to embody them into this business. Like I like being able to chat with people and knowing where they're from and what they're doing and, you know, what they do for a living and how that affects them personally. I'm really kind of a people person. And so if you come here enough, we will know you. Mm-hmm. We will talk to you. I've been on vacation with some of my regulars. Like,
love it.
I mean, it's like a cheers here. Like when people walk through, like, hey, what's going on? Or I haven't seen you in a really long time. Or like, you know, it's very personable. It's like going to a space where you're comfortable and you don't have to worry about a lot of things. There's comfort in it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Why do people go out anymore? Yeah. I want to know that answer.
I know when there's Netflix and couches and ordering in. No, I think this place is really special. I'm going to come back. I want to go into a little lightning round that may, this may turn into little conversations, but let's kick it off with softball here. It's pool or darts.
Oh, I think personally, I would rather play darts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about, I see you have Touch Tunes here.
Yes.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Touch Tunes?
I have developed this really great skill of not really paying attention to what's playing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people are like, what was that last song? I was like, I have no idea. I'm overconsumed in my own thoughts, which is probably a problem.
No, it's okay. Cheapest drink?
PBR? Draft?
That's going to be...
Or a PBR can, PBR $4. Can.
Okay, pretty good. Most popular drink here?
PBR and Malort.
Malort seems to be, yeah. I mean, people can't get enough of it these days.
Yeah, it's true.
How about favorite sign or memorabilia in the bar? Photos?
Oh. There's just so much stuff. Like, there's this picture here that I can't remember. Oh, it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is me and the oldest employee. That was our employee party. It was just her and I.
Uh-huh. It was just you.
Yeah.
What a party.
We went to Dave and Buster's. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Wait, I love it. How fun is that? Yeah. And you got it on the wall now.
Yes. And we got pretty drunk.
Okay.
And
at a Dave and Buster's?
At a Dave and Buster's.
You can do that, yeah.
We had horrible nachos. It was fantastic. It was a very long time ago. Okay. I mean, well, I can't even... 10, 12 mm-hmm. years ago.
Okay.
So... It was fun. I mean, there's just all like moments like that on the board, on the walls mm-hmm. and behind the bar that I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this and I remember that. And this person drew this for us. And I don't know.
It's a lot of history.
There's a lot of history. Yep. There's a lot of regulars that have come and gone, moved mm-hmm. Moved out of town to a different state, you know, blah, 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 blah. So sometimes I'll think about that, you know, I'll be like, oh, I wonder whatever happened to that person, you know. I reminisce all the time.
Yeah. Like I always, how can you not?
Yeah. I always think like, I wonder if that person remembers us or if they ever think like, oh, I remember that bar or remember that person at that bar or that bartender. They told me this thing once and blah, blah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I romanticize everything. So.
No. I love it. All right. Let's go to, what's your favorite Chicago restaurant? If you had to choose.
I wouldn't know what my favorite Chicago restaurant is, but I will tell you when we lived in the city, we lived in Humboldt, we would always order from Cozy Corner.
Okay.
I love breakfast food. So
I've heard of it.
Yes.
Okay. Cozy Corner.
Yes.
Check it out. How about, okay, this is the same as Touch Tunes, but like your favorite genre of music to play at the bar?
Well, I generally play maybe some old loungy music, some Tom Waits. Mm. There's some Tom Waits in there. Okay. There's some old 90s stuff that I'm all over the place. Nigerian music, like you name it.
Okay, fun.
So I am all over the place. And a lot of people that work here are also all over the place.
Do they get to pick the music
when they're bartending? Yes, as long as it's not offensive. And if they, you know, want to play something specific, you know, that's what that jukebox is there for.
Okay, beautiful. How about, I realize I have 11 questions, so we only need 10. How about, okay, I want you to finish this sentence, just the first thing that comes to mind. You can never have enough.
I have no idea.
That's perfect.
Booze.
Booze is perfect. That's definitely important here. How about when you're not here or at home, where might we find you if your stalker's listening?
Probably hanging out with a couple of my friends. My sister-in-law has a hot tub.
Hell yeah.
So I often harass her.
Hey, what are you doing tonight?
I have a bottle of hot dog.
Yeah. I get that. I would use my friend too if she had a hot dog. Or hot tub, not a hot dog. I would use my friend for a hot dog too.
Yeah, hot dogs are delicious.
Yeah, it's getting close to dinner time here. Yeah. All right, finally, this is a big one. Do you have a life motto or like a favorite quote or something that you're just always saying?
Well, lately, I've been telling myself, you know, like everybody gets diarrhea, you know? We're all the same.
Yeah.
Everybody gets diarrhea and we're all going to die from something.
Jeez.
You know, bring it down to reality. Bring it down to reality.
My gosh.
No one's special.
Okay. You're really humbling us today. I love it. But at the Cork Lounge, you're going to feel super welcome and warm.
Absolutely.
By Susie here.
You're going to have a lot of sass and sarcasm because that's what we are, you know.
Well, this
has
been wonderful.
We like to joke around.
Yeah, you're a ball of fun. I can't wait to come back and shoot the shit with you, not with a stupid microphone. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for emailing me. This was fun.
And that concludes our interview portion. Thank you again to Susie. Up next, we have another edition of Euler's Corner, where my friend, fellow Chicago comedian and dive bar enthusiast Bob Euler provides his insights, opinions on various subjects that have to do with the bar industry. Last week, he tackled touch tunes, and this week, he's decided to take on the subject of dogs in bars. Let's see what Bob has to say.
Euler's Corner.
All right, welcome to Euler's Corner. Today we are talking about dogs in bars. Absolutely not. That is, no, don't leave your dog at home. All right? Maybe if it's a patio, sure, fine, I guess. That's fine. But if it's an inside bar, no. All right? I know he's your cute little furball. He's the love of your life. I get that. But half the time, the people at the bar, they don't want to see him. No. Especially if it's a yappy dog that doesn't start barking. I one time heard a lady brought her dog to the bar. The dog wouldn't stop barking. She was like, oh, he's just saying hi to everybody. No, he's not saying hi to everybody. He's saying, lady, I want to go home. I don't want to be here. It's loud. They're playing loud music. It's packed. There's a table of random dudes screaming about their favorite running backs from the 2010s. No. Also, some people are allergic to dogs. You know, some people can't be around dog dander at all, or else makes their face puff up and they get all sneezy. Now, their right night's ruined because you didn't want to stay inside with your little fella. All right? The worst is, too, the worst dog owners are the dog owners that bring their little pets to the bar solely to try to get laid. Trying to use it as an icebreaker for some ladies because you don't have a personality. Fucking do magic. Learn close-up magic. All right, that is a better way, a more ethical way to get laid than bringing another living object into it. All right? And it's just certain bars you can't bring your dog in. If there's a patio, sure. Let the dog go out on the patio. That's fine. It's outside. It's out in the open. It's not as hectic, not as crazy. Or like if it's a little dive bar before 6 p.m., sure. When it's not that busy, that's fine. But once it gets to nighttime and it starts popping, dogs don't want to be there, okay? And fuck these dog-friendly bars. It's not a real thing. If the place is dog friendly, that it's not a bar, okay? Bars are loud, packed establishments. It's just no place for a dog. Now, this is a very just sensitive issue for me because I've been bit by like three dogs. Two of them at bars in Austin, Texas, which it's not just, Austin is not just the capital of Texas, but it's the capital of shitty dog owners. Every single bar you go to in Austin, and every single bar in Austin is loud and packed and in a party 7 nights a week. People would bring their dogs. There's one time I was working at this bar, went around the area, the bar, picked up glassware, you know, super busy. I guess I accidentally stepped on the dog's tail because the guy brought their dog into a packed bar. I didn't see the little guy's tail. He jumped up, bit me in the hand. Felt terrible for him. I don't want to do that to a dog. But anyway, I'm all fine. Nothing broke. It was all good. I go to close out the people. The dog owners, they finally wised up. And like, oh, maybe we shouldn't have our dog here. They walk him home. They come back. Could start drinking again for another 2 hours. These fuckers, when they close out their tab, tipped us out at only 18%. We were serving them drinks all night, and the dog bit me, and I decided not to press charges. Again, not to sound like a sicko, but I could have had that dog murdered. All right? I could have had that dog murdered, and I wouldn't have been in the wrong. Okay? That's what you do when dogs bite people, you know? But I decided not to do that because I'm a good guy, but according to them, their little fur baby's life is only worth $20 on a $110 tab. Anyway, don't bring your dog into a bar. Bring him to the dog park instead and sneak a couple of cold ones out to the dog park if you really want to get lit up with man's best friend. Anyway, that's been Bob's Corner, or Euler's Corner. See you guys next week.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. Special thanks to Dan Muller for the music. Follow us on Instagram at Deep Dive Shy for updates and behind-the-scenes content. Thanks for listening to Deep Dive, where it's always a good pour, tall, short, and even malort.